Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Felipe Dáguila, and I'm honored to be the panel captain for our next panel, Leading Digital, a manifesto for IT and business executives. And I'm going to introduce our moderator. It's a research scientist for MIT Sloan IDE, Initiative for Digital Economy, a well-known author, recently just published Leading Digital, a highly recommended book for any digital initiative. So please, applause for Mr. Dr. George Westerman.
Thank you.
Wow, you all came back. What a great thing. You know, it's the end of the day and you're still here. I promise you we're going to have a really good discussion here. It's going to make it worth your while for having stayed through the rest of the day. This is the perfect time to be talking about digital transformation, digital leadership in an IT-CIO conference. Now, it's not just because I have a new book out. I mean, it's a good book, right? And, you know, lots of good stuff in there. We'll be signing the book later. But it's about more than that. It's about the fact that if we look at our point in history of business and technology, now is the time. We're 60 years into the revolution of computing. And it's become really clear now that computers are not about computing. Computers are about collaboration. They're about connection. They're about innovation. They're about discovery. They're about creating new businesses and new channels to customers. Computers aren't technology, they're business capabilities. And everybody is waking up to that now. CEOs, business unit chiefs, around business board members around the world are saying, hey, I get it. This digital stuff's important. But the next thing they're saying is, what do I do about this? Now, some great CIOs out there are helping to drive this conversation. And for other CIOs, it's a huge opportunity to get in there and make something happen. So I want to tell you a little bit about the research that we did on Leading Digital, what it means to play these roles, what needs to happen to make Leading Digital happen. And then we're going to bring out some people who are actually leading digital to talk about what they do, to give you some ideas you can bring home, make yourself a little bit dangerous when you get there. Okay? So it's easy to think that in this time of everything moving faster, of technology increasing the demands of customers, of the ability to launch businesses so quickly and so cheaply, it's easy to think that fast-moving, hungry startups are going to eat the lunch of every incumbent company out there. And it's easy to think, and some startups are doing that, but you know, we've studied a lot of big companies now, and from industry after industry, we're finding large companies that are using technology to actually increase their market power, to change the way they do business, to change the way they link to customers. Digital is turning into a good thing for these, and they're continuing to do more and more with technology. We call those companies digital masters. There are a lot of companies out there doing stuff with technology. The digital masters are doing things right. These companies are different. And if I were to sum up the way that they're different in one sentence, it'd be this. Where executives at many companies think about technology as something you adopt, in the digital masters, they see technology as an opportunity to transform what they're doing. And in transforming what they're doing, they develop capabilities nobody else has. They are 26% more profitable than other companies in their same industry. And they have a lead and are going to continue ahead of there because they have the capability to keep moving further and further ahead. We call these companies digital masters. They are not digital companies. They're big companies just using digital better. Now, this transformation idea is really essential. It's not a technology challenge, right? It's a leadership challenge. If you take this transformation idea in there, if you really drive it through, put the capabilities in, that's when you can do things like Burberry. Competing with the Italian fashion brands for the same market, which is called Ladies Who Lunch. They realized that was a tough market to go in, so they went for a different market. They have now reoriented themselves completely to a market called Millennials with Money. And they're actually doing it pretty well, okay? Another kind of transformation, Nike. Nike has taken a highly entrepreneurial, highly siloed organization, all pretty good at technology, and started to tie it together in ways they never could before, so that product design can learn from social media, so that marketing can know how to market a product before it's actually ever been built. And they can keep on, and so they can get closer to customers every step of the way. That's something that was not natural for Nike. But they're able to do it, and they're better as a result of doing it. And another example, just for fun, is Asian paints. Anybody know what Asian paints is? Basically, if you grew up in India, you know it, and nobody else does, right? Asian paints went from making paint in 13 regions of India to becoming an integrated supplier of paint, painting services, and home renovation services in 17 countries around the world. It took a vision to be something different and to make that happen. So what are the secrets of being a digital master? I told you, first, it's your mindset. But there are two capabilities we've found in this research that do it. Digital masters excel at two pieces. One is the digital side. They are putting technology into their customer experience, their operations, their business models better than other companies can. But that's actually less important than the horizontal dimension. And a horizontal dimension, that leadership piece, is critical. They are envisioning and driving change from the top of the company. You know, we hear a lot about bottom-up innovation, about open innovation, about letting 1,000 flowers bloom. Now, if you let 1,000 flowers bloom, that'll create a very nice garden for you for maybe a week or two. But it's no way to create a unified customer experience. These people lead very strongly top-down with a vision. They make it happen. So we could talk a lot about the digital capabilities, but we've been doing that all day. What I want to really focus on in the next few minutes is the leadership side, to give you some ideas on how this happens in the digital masters. And what we see is three major elements to making leadership. Starts with vision. How are you going to be a radically different company because this technology is here? We're going to go for millennials with money, not ladies who lunch. We're going to go global instead of being a small regional provider of paints. How are you going to be radically different? You then engage your employees in making that a reality, making it a reality not only for your company, but for yourself, for themselves. See where they fit in it. And then you have to govern. Because without governance, you just go everywhere. The 1,000 flowers bloom, and you waste a lot of money. How do you get the coordination to sharing that kind of stuff in there? So just for example, let's do it this way. I'm an engineer by training. The word vision just makes me a little bit yawn, right? I've heard visions over 30-some years in business, and whenever I hear the top comes up with a new vision, my answer typically is, like, if I just put my head down, maybe this vision's going to go away. Right? You've all experienced that, right? What does it mean to have a great vision? Well, I think about it in terms of caterpillars and butterflies. Digital should give you wings. Digital should make you faster, more capable, give you those superpowers to do things that you never could do before. So Codelco, a copper mining company, is envisioning a time where no miner will ever need to go underground again. They're just about there. Now, what happens when no miner ever needs to go underground again? It's safer, but more than that, it's cheaper. They're going to change the whole economics of their business by taking people out of the mines. That's a butterfly vision. Boeing is thinking, we don't want to sell you planes. We want to be the center of a digital ecosystem that is the digital airline. The plane is a part of it, but there's all that information. There's all the partners we're going to plug in. That's a butterfly vision. Unfortunately, when I talked to a whole lot of CEOs early in the research, not a lot of them were talking about digital butterflies. Most of them were talking about using digital to make themselves really fast caterpillars. And in a world that's moving this fast, caterpillars aren't going to keep up. So it's a transformative vision. It's something really big. But the next problem is, how do you overcome the Georges of the world where I look at that vision and say, no way, that's not me. You got to engage them in it. Okay? Now, used to be engagement was top down. Hey, guys, here's what we're doing. Step in line. Didn't work all that well. It was a whole lot of work. What we can do with digital now that's different is engage in two-way conversations at scale like we never could before. And so it's more than just wiring up that platform. It's creating the conversations around what's happening. And it's using those conversations to drive ideas for where we can go next and to drive change in the organization. One company we talked to, they had just finished their 5-year planning effort. I said, how are things different right now? And they said, well, 5 years ago, we put out the plan, and it took us about 2 years before people figured out what it was. This year, throughout our planning process, people could watch what was happening And we had interviews every day with the executives as we were doing our planning. This time we came out with our plan, and the next day the whole company knew what was going on. And because they had seen the process, they also trusted us more than they ever did before. That's the engagement side. And then last but not least, here's governance. Governance is that nasty word. Everybody thinks it's a synonym for bureaucracy. When it's done badly, it is. But it's got to be there. Who's going to lead digital? What are the shared resources you're going to have there? How are you going to coordinate across all those people, all those different business units to make digital happen? How are you going to put in the smart investment processes that are going to get you value instead of wasting value every time? That's what governance is about. It's got to be there, although it's really nobody really wants to talk about it. So I've talked about these three things on leadership. You might ask yourself, where's the CIO in all this? And in many organizations, the CIO is not part of that conversation. That shouldn't be. And those of you leading IT shouldn't let it be. You know, if you think about it, we basically have a puzzle with a piece missing. And that piece is the IT relationships. I talked to a lot of companies where they said, IT's a mess. And, you know, we're going to make this digital happen without them because they're just too slow and expensive. Every digital master, though, found a way to work with IT. Now, that meant a lot of change on the business side, but it also meant a lot of change on the IT side to become the kind of person that they wanted to work with. We've talked today earlier about dual-speed IT, about understanding the business, about where to go. Listen, if you've got the IT there and it's working, all that data, all that knowledge in the processes, that's all there to bring it to bear, to give you that advantage over the startups of the world. But if it's a mess, you're not there. But let's go on one more step. Good CIOs understand where the technology can go, where the company can go with technology. They can help set that vision. Good CIOs know what it means to engage your company in change, not just to put the systems in. And good CIOs know what governance looks like. These are skills and capabilities the rest of the company really doesn't have if you can get them to listen. So really, putting yourself in that conversation is essential because the conversation's happening whether you're in it or not. So what about this conversation? Well, we got some amazing people to talk about it. We've got people in all kinds of different roles that have leadership roles in technology, and we're going to just have them duke it out and see who survives. Okay? So first of all, we have a chief marketing officer, Anthony Christie from Level 3. We have a CIO, Michael Nillis from Schindler, who, by the way, is our winning CIO from the competition this year. Chief digital officer is Brian Tilzer from CVS Health, who came in actually just for this session. It's really great. And also, not really a digital leader, but he finds digital leaders for the rest of your companies. We have a headhunter, and that's Craig Stevenson from Korn Ferry. So let's welcome them all. So thanks, everyone, for being part of the panel. It's really been great talking with you earlier, and I know you've got a lot of really great things to share. What we thought we'd start is just some basic introductions. So why don't we start out, Anthony? What's digital in your company, and what's your role in it?
Happy to start things off. So as a chief marketing officer at Level 3, which is a global telecommunications service provider, my team and I, we've got responsibility for customer experience, product management, product development, and corporate marketing. So when I think about what digital looks like at Level 3 Communications, first and foremost, it's understanding the customer experience from the outside in. Secondly, is developing products and services that hit the mark of our core value proposition. And our core value proposition at Level 3 is growth, efficiency, and security. Everything we do from a development standpoint, we want it to help a customer grow their business faster, manage their network more efficiently, and do both in an inherently secure fashion. And then third, I spend a lot of time with our CIO and our CTO executing against what I'll refer to as our fundamental strategy, which is operational excellence. We spend a lot of time thinking about, how we can optimize around that strategy to increase revenue and to increase our profitability.
Great, thank you, thank you. Now, Michael, you work in an elevator company. You make escalators, elevators. What's digital there, and what's your role in there as a CIO?
Yeah, so we come from a very traditional industry. So you would think about us as the guys with the physical stuff. So what is digitization all about? But digitization is really changing the way on how we do business, and it's really game-changing nowadays. We started off with IT rationalization quite some time ago, then we have been building up a global process platform so to harmonize and optimize our business on a global scale, which you also know from George's book as operational excellence. But what really made the difference 3-4 years ago when we said we want to dive into the leading edge digital business. And for this, we have digitized the relationship with our customers. We have fully digitized our products who are nowadays communicating over the internet of things with our integrated backend processes. We have digitized our workforce working in the field. This is more than 30,000 people. So they are nowadays equipped with what we call a digital tool case. And last but not least, we are looking in very innovative business processes or algorithms. We call them digital processes. So for instance, think about route optimization so that you have your service technicians going the right route to the right equipment, and this is really driving efficiency and productivity. I and my team, we are responsible for what we call digital business, so we really renamed the whole thing because that is part of the whole transformational game, but beside of that, we are also in charge of classical information technology, business process management, and also business shared services.
Thank you. Now, we hear in healthcare, there are tremendous opportunities for IT, for digital. Brian, you got to make that happen in a giant company. What's your role? What's digital doing in CVS?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. So CVS, I think most people think of us as the neighborhood pharmacy, which we are, but we're actually a lot more than that. We view ourselves as a healthcare delivery company and really focused on helping people on the path to better health. And as you think about healthcare, healthcare is complex, it's confusing, it's hard to stay healthy in the first place, and then the healthcare system makes it really difficult. And we see digital as a way to actually bring some simplification and actually connect our people to the full breadth of services our company offers to help them live healthier lives. And that can range from very simple things like helping them to refill prescriptions anywhere, anytime, anyhow. But also, increasingly, it's looking at some more sophisticated health tools that leverage the devices we're carrying with us all the time, everywhere, to deliver interventions that get them to do something to live a healthier life, to stay on a medication that they wouldn't stay on otherwise, and to do other things for them. So the vision is very patient-centric, and sort of my role is in sort of creating the vision, creating the strategy, but then also leading sort of all the different operational aspects of that, ranging from building great experiences, user experience design, product management, the digital operations, and then I work very closely with our CIO on the actual engineering work. So in the simplest form, you know, creating the vision and then rallying the organization cross-functionally around the vision.
Thank you, thank you. And Craig, I know you talk a lot of companies about digital leadership and what they're doing. So what, you know, how do you fall into this whole space?
Sure. Thanks. So in terms of the digital leadership today, we're seeing a couple of trends. I think first of all, there are a lot of commonalities from the boardroom down through the executive committee. Obviously, it's around transformation, massive change, the customer experience, data analytics. There's a lot of commonality. I will also say that the other commonality is no matter what organization we talk to across industry, financial services, consumer, industrial, healthcare, et cetera, there's also a lot of independence for every company. So there's a lot of uniqueness to every conversation that we have, again, at the board level, as well as the executive committee level. And I think that's going to continue to evolve very, very rapidly over the next 12 to 24 months until things maybe start to settle down a little bit.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. So I gave you guys two assignments, two tough assignments. So let's hit the first assignment first. You know, I talked about a great vision as something that can engage people, that's kind of radical, that's going to push the organization forward. And the best visions are one sentence. So if we were to start, what's your one sentence vision for where Level 3 is going with digital?
Our one sentence vision for where level three is going with digital is to be the trusted connection to the networked world. And the way that came about is interesting from my perspective because it's actually the company's vision, period. And then when we talk about our brand vision, it's actually our company's brand vision. And this is something that had been thought through very, very deliberately, very, very methodically with our CEO and then a number of us on the senior team. So, it's kind of hand in glove with this whole concept that we're talking about today.
Thank you. Michael?
So for us in Schindler, digital business transformation means driving game-changing business model innovation, period, right? We were asked to just put one sentence, but just a quick elaboration on that. Because we believe in the traditional industries, you're not really staying in business in the next 10 years just by your technology, by your product. So you really will just be able to survive and get a competitive advantage if you have the related services, and they will be enabled clearly by digitization.
And Brian, you've talked about creating the vision, but you held off on telling us what it is. So what's your vision?
Yeah, so the vision is connecting people to all the pharmacy and healthcare services and products that they need to live healthier lives anytime, anywhere.
Great. And Craig, does Korn Ferry have a digital vision for itself, or are you helping make the visions happen for others?
Well, we actually, our CIO is actually here in the house today. I could call Brian up on stage, but I won't do that. But personally speaking, we spend a lot more time with our clients, helping them to identify the right talent, the right leaders, to make sure that the dream becomes a reality.
Sounds like a vision to me. So great. Thanks. So listen, we've got CIOs, we've got a CMO, we've got a chief digital officer. For the life of me, I can't figure out why we need all three. So, Michael, why do we need all three? Your CIO, CIO, do we need the other people?
So first of all, I should move a little bit closer, right, to the CMO. So I'm a strong believer that every company needs a CMO. That makes perfect sense. In particular, in our industry, you need to have people because, again, we are moving from a pure technology-driven business model into a more service, customer focused business model. So you need to have really someone who has the experience, who has the leadership skills and capabilities in making the go-to-market for the new value proposition reality. When it comes to the CDO, so the chief digital officer, here we are really in the old discussion of the role of the CIO, and we had that like 10, 15 years ago. There was a question, do we need a CPO beside of the CIO? And here I have a very clear opinion about. So I believe if the CIO is not covering what a CDO has to cover, then he's the wrong person on board. So I don't think you need a CDO in a company. You should then rather change the CIO or to just put him a level down. That's my clear opinion about the CDO.
Do you agree with that, Brian?
Yeah, I'm going to go home. I think that you got to think about the context of the business you're in. So fundamentally, digital is, we're a consumer-facing business. In the simplest terms, we're helping consumers every day. So digital is both an enabler, but it's also a channel to engage people and for people to actually do business with us onto itself. So the role that I have is multidimensional. On the one hand, digital is a great marketing channel to engage people in ways that we've never envisioned before. On the other hand, we have an opportunity to design experiences to allow people to actually do business with us and allow us to serve them in ways not possible before. And at the same time, the stuff has to get built and built in a way that's secure, efficient, and effective. And you can think about all those challenges. So it's not something that I can do alone, but the impetus for a chief digital officer at CVS is that we think this is such a big idea that it needs a senior leader to actually create and operate this as a channel of engagement onto itself.
Thanks. And Anthony, I know there's this famous conflict between the marketing folks and the CIOs, and you're not supposed to like each other very much. How do you feel about that one?
Actually, we're doing really well, given the answer that Michael started with. But I guess if I could just comment on the previous question as well, and kidding aside with Michael's comment, I think it really depends on the business objectives and what you're trying to accomplish. You know, akin to what Brian just said, okay? And the things that you would look for, around a CDO, there's some things that are rather, they're generic, they're general. You want a digital vision, you want to have a platform, perhaps, or technologies that are united across business units. You want a dashboard and metrics associated with that. It needs to be integrated into the brand of the company as well. If it's easier for a company to do that with a senior leader, wonderful if they have the resources. And in our case, those sit in a couple of different areas with the CTO, with the CIO, and with my group. And we work very, very well together, I think. I like to refer to it, and you've heard this term before, as loosely coupled and highly cohesive. But on your point about, the age-old, back and forth between IT and marketing, can I just do a quick survey? How many people would consider themselves in the audience to be, IT tech? Okay. And how many would be like business? Okay. All right. So not quite half and half. This is very unscientific for where we happen to be sitting right now. Okay. But I'd be willing to bet that if we got a group of folks, same number on each side, that just as many people that would say, there's this argument between IT and marketing, there would be just as many who would say there isn't. I think there's a little bit of urban legend. I think there are definitely some thinking around marketing, viewing IT traditionally as an obstacle to getting things done. And then the reverse of that, I have been on both sides of this, okay, a CMO and a CIO. And then, so I've sat on the other side where you look and you're interested from an IT standpoint in standards and security, okay, and process and agility and things like that. And sometimes they compete, but they don't have to. I think if two senior leaders or three senior leaders cannot align around business objectives, then their teams will never align around business objectives. So I really think it starts at the top.
Okay, thank you. So let's think about, I talked about driving that conversation. And, Brian, you're driving this conversation all the time, right? These guys say you don't need to be there. But let's say you're there and you're doing a good job. What do these conversations look like? What are people engaging with you about? What are they complaining about as you're driving these conversations?
Yeah, I think in what we do, if you say fundamentally what we're trying to do is to harness technological innovations, make them relevant to our customers, and doing so generate business outcomes. What we're trying to do is accelerate the process of getting from one end of that to the other end of that. And so both the what and the how is important. So what is important is what kinds of experiences are we going to build that are really important to our customers? So we've built programs that are reminding people to take prescriptions, as an example, reminding them to refill prescriptions. We have 20 million people in this program. The people who do that now are actually more likely to stay on their medicine regime than the regimen than they're not. Mm-hmm. So if you take that, that's a what. That's the program of what we're working on. So the conversations really at both an enterprise level, but also business unit by business units are what are those what's that could make a big difference for how we serve our customers that could generate the business outcomes. And then the second piece is the how. And the big how that we talked about is how to do it faster, mm-hmm. right? Because there's so much uncertainty, long multi-year strategies just don't pan out. You've got to get to market. You got to get real customer response. So the hows that we're working on are really looking for multiple ways to get learning, to support experimentation, working with our IT partners to develop multiple paths to production, working with things like we just opened an innovation lab in Boston, where what we're trying to do is to bring together both rapid prototyping and development with a place to infuse third-party talent and solutions in the mix so we can create things together that we wouldn't be able to create alone. And so the conversations are both around this what, accelerating and developing meaningful experiences for our customers and doing it faster.
So what's the most common complaint you get in trying to have these?
We're not moving fast enough.
Okay, great.
You know, these we've done a tremendous amount in the past couple years. We have top-rated apps in every one of our business units. We have millions of people using them, 10 million people. And we've made so much progress, but there's so much potential for more. There's so many more ways. Once you have the platform that we have, and once you have these high utility cases where we have people using our digital channels every day, it starts opening up the door where we can do even more things to make a difference. So moving faster, and again, that's why we're looking at things like opening a lab in Boston with hiring 100 people, pulling together third parties, because we want to find ways to move faster, and trying our best to do that.